You are listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. On May 2nd, the Dakota Scout published their reporting on factual discrepancies in Governor Kristi Noem's book, No Going Back. The local independent news journal found two alleged meetings with world leaders that were described in the book, but the Scout could not find any verification that they had actually happened. And that included a meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, and another that Governor Noem said she canceled with French President Emmanuel Macron. And the story in the Scout made national headlines. And it all started with local reporting done right here in South Dakota with a voice you know pretty well if you listen to this show as well. And that's Jonathan Ellis, co-founder of the Dakota Scout and co-author of the articles and the coverage. And he is with us in our SDPB studio for our weekly Dakota Political Junkies analysis. Jonathan, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I hope it's a voice that when people hear it, they don't plug their ears.
I don't think so. Turn the knob the channel and find some nice country music to take your mind off of.
Country music, right?
All right. So we haven't actually had you on the show since this happened because, you know, we have different Dakota political junkies who come in from different
parts
of the state.
You have diversity. That's a good thing.
Yeah, to represent different news organizations and such. So I do want to go back a little bit and say how this kind of unfolded at the Dakota Scout, because your story was being quoted across the country and even probably in France.
Yeah. Well, the French part was pretty easy. I mean, we were able to get some confirmation through the president's that there had never been this meeting scheduled. That, mm-hmm. So that was actually pretty easy. The North Korea thing was very interesting. So Austin Goss, who works for us, had gotten an advanced copy of the book, and you know, amid the firestorm of the cricket shooting account. You know, a couple days after that, he sent me a picture of this page, this account of meeting North of Kim Jong Un meeting him.
Cricket is a dog. In Cricket's case you've been living under a rock and you don't know about the cricket story, that's what he's referring to. But go ahead.
I assumed everyone knew who.
Yeah, he sends you this screenshot of a story.
And
about
he said,
Kim Jong-un.
"Does this seem plausible to you?" And I'm like, "No, this does not." I mean, I'm no foreign policy wizard here, okay? But I know enough that there aren't a lot of Americans who've ever met this guy, North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And so I've probably said this on your show before, but the Dakota Scout is, you know, if it were a restaurant, we, you know, bus the tables, do the dishes, we cook the food and run the business. You know, we do it all there. So I started reporting and just, you know, I've covered the governor throughout her political career, and so I obviously have known a lot of her staffers over the years, and I just started making phone calls to former congressional staffers and whatever. And Austin was doing some of the same, and nobody remembered any type of meeting on this deal. And so this is a Thursday, and on Thursday we deliver papers. So I'm delivering papers, bussing the tables or whatever, and I'm trying to. And at the same time, I'm making calls, calling sources. And I said to Austin, "Look, I mean, we're not going to get anybody on the record, staffers, to say this, but nobody's confirmed that it happened." I said, "What we need are some experts." North Korea experts. So we started reaching out in that world. It's a very limited world. Mm-hmm. And luckily, Austin found a gentleman from Notre Dame, and I found a gentleman from Virginia. And both of those experts they know what they're talking about, and they
of Dakota State.
Former of Dakota State.
Benjamin Young was, he's been a guest on the show, and he's from Matt, or he had been time in Madison, moved on to Virginia.
Right, he's considered one of the top. And both of these experts, you know, when we interviewed them, were just like, no, there's just no way. I mean, and they explained various theories on why, those two sources really, I think, made the story. We could have written a story with just background sources, but those two gentlemen really, I think, like explained to readers like why this was just so implausible, why this never happened.
Yeah, when you saw her answering questions about it, then when the governor goes on the media tour, on the book tour, and people are pressing her, and she's saying, "Oh yeah, I've been to North Korea," and then, "Wait, I've been to the DMZ. Right. Wait, maybe I've been to." Did you think that she didn't understand where she had been? Did you think she was just thrown off by the question?
No.
What was going through your mind as you saw some of the national reporters asking questions and as the governor sort of solidified how she was going to answer that question as it came to her again and again? Because finally she lands on this, I'm not talking about any meetings with world leaders. But before that, there's a lot of back and forth about her saying where she had been and where she hadn't been. And
I think she's trying to equate the DMZ, the demilitarized zone between the two Koreas, as being North Korea. I think that's what she's trying to. I almost said Dakota. I think she's trying to imply that the DMZ equals going to North Korea, and that's not the case. So I don't think I think she's intentionally trying to say that's North Korea.
And then she settles on, I'm not speaking about any conversations with world leaders as a straight answer. There's a new poll out from South Dakota News Watch, sponsored by the Cheeseman Center for Democracy at USD, talking about how South Dakotans are responding, Republicans, Democrats, East River, West River, how they're responding to what's been happening with the governor. And she does take a hit in the polls here. Have you looked at that survey at all and sort of process what it's saying about what's happened since the May 2nd article?
Yeah, I'm very thankful that they did the poll. I mean, one of our follow-up stories was how would this impact, potentially the Senate race in 2026. And, we had some of the same analysts who said, this is not good for her. But that poll really added some meat to the bone in terms of what people are thinking. And I've been familiar with her polling throughout her her federal career.
Right.
She's always struggled with women voters. She just has. And now if you look at the gulf on the favor, it's like 20 points. It's significant. I think it used to be less than 10. Okay. And one of the things that I thought was interesting in that poll, too, was that one of the questions was, do you think this damaged her favorability? The book stuff. And that both men and women agreed more than 60%. I think women 63%, men 60%. But that, this was damaging to her. So I thought that was interesting that the two genders in that category thought that it was damaging to her.
Her job performance is still has a fairly high approval rating at 81%, but her overall favorability has really taken a hit. So maybe you like what she's doing, how she's running the state, but you don't like her? Is that, that's a broad statement, but there's something about her that you're disappointed about.
Yeah, I think that's a big takeaway from that. I mean, again, I think there are a lot of Republicans who are very appreciative of the fact that, South Dakota is probably the most open state during the COVID pandemic in terms of restrictions. And so I think that she gets goodwill from that from a lot of Republican voters in the state. But also it doesn't take, I mean, when she's traveling as much as she has been and very just openly courting the vice presidential nomination like she has, I think that has rubbed some people the wrong way. And then you throw the book controversies in it and really an inadequacy of to respond to the controversy, the questioning that you brought up on television when she says, I'm not going to talk about my world leader. Well, that's, I mean, if you read the book, she talks about conversations with world leaders that
several
she did have. So, I mean, she's, I think we use the word effusive at times a bit about discussing that. So all of a sudden, this is a new standard that she has very conveniently.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned the Senate race. We're talking about speculation that she could challenge U.S. Senator Mike Rounds in Senate race. And again, speculation about vice president, speculation. She says at the end of the book, my first day in the White House as president would be this, which I think creates certainly optics that she would like to be president someday. What happens next for her? Because you mentioned the pandemic and the goodwill of keeping the state open, but there were an awful lot of people who died during that time that we don't talk about as much anymore, about just how many people we lost during the pandemic and the grief that we have. So there is some goodwill, but there's also some forgetting of what the loss during the pandemic was. She has goodwill during the next political thing. Will people forget this? Will they forget this book? Because normally a book like this has a very short news cycle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there were, going into COVID, if you recall, there had been a number of issues that had been plaguing her to start off with, the COVID. And I don't want to get into a debate about COVID, but I think if you were to look at death rates, they were pretty. I mean,
we were for a long time, we were one of the top hotspots in the world. So there are people who remember that. And if you lost someone personally, I want to honor the grief that people have from losing somebody, Jonathan.
I had a friend who died in that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get that. But is there something else that comes along that kind of displaces this, the book stuff? I mean, it would have to be pretty significant. I mean, in considering she has 2 years, between now and what would be the next election cycle.
Yeah, round or gnome?
In the Senate race,
2 years from now, do you feel like there's a whole lot of things can happen between now and then?
Yeah, of course. I mean, politics is always fluid, right? Yeah. But I think that this really hurts her going into a potential, if she wanted to challenge Mike Rounds in a primary. Mm-hmm. I think this really hurts her.
Yeah. Are there other things in the book that you saw that might hurt her?
Well, I mean,
or help her.
I haven't read the book, so I'm not. You know, I've read passages that we've confirmed. I've not sat down and actually read the whole thing. I mean, we have again. You know, the publisher had a follow-up story to retract some things in that she'd said about Mike Rounds in terms of his reaction to the 2016 controversies.
Not retracting them though. They didn't pull the book back. It's like in future editions, if there happen to be some,
right,
we're going to make some changes.
They're going to edit future editions. So yeah, thanks. They're not actually pulling the book, but they are the changes. They have factual changes they've had to make there too.
There's no index in the book, by the way, so you can't do that thing where you just look up to see if you're in it.
Well, I don't think they do any in those Washington books anymore. Do they ever do those? They make people.
That's an old joke. First thing you do, go look at the index.
Go to Barnes and Noble.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah. They're not going to index that thing. Yeah. You have to read the actual book. It's padded with a lot of stuff that you've already seen. Here's my speech.
Right.
Here's my budget address. Here, there was just a lot. It was it's quickly done. And it's done for a particular time. And there's a lot of information that you would have already read.
Yeah,
I've covered her. Yeah.
Yeah, the parts of the book I have read. I mean, I felt like she was writing it for an audience of one person. Who was that person? Donald Trump. I mean, even though he doesn't read books, apparently. I mean, that was the take. I felt like she's talking to Donald Trump in the passages I've read.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that you're working on that you want to direct people to Scout's coverage in the next few days you think might be insightful topic-wise? What's next for you?
You know, I had some interesting story that ran on census population growth in some cities. We have a follow-up to that coming. Mm. We have kind of an interesting story about an ambassador visiting South Dakota here soon. The meat and potatoes of the news industry.
Meanwhile, paper goes out on Thursday. Yeah, so find it in person, but also online. Jonathan Ellis with the Dakota Scout. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Happy to come by.